Dr. Feynman, are you there?
Where are you, though?
I am really sorry here. We're struggling with our signal to get out over the air.
I tried to listen to the show. I couldn't listen.
Yeah, we are live on the internet, but we are not live over the air. But
oh, my gosh. So my son, for instance, can't listen to it.
I'm sorry. We will be replaying this this show.
So it'll be recorded, yeah.
Exactly. We are recording right now, as a matter of fact. And we're starting way early because I can't do the 15-minute break. For some reason or other, we lost our something in the computer.
Okay, so you're going to start with the music and all that?
No, we're on the air now.
Oh, well, this is not going to be part of the recording, though, what we're saying right now, is it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's a little weird.
That is a little weird, but we're glad to have you here.
Yes, good to be with you, yes.
And we will have this all, people will be able to listen to this at a later time, but they can't listen to us live.
And I guess Adam will put it on the webpage that we have, right?
Yeah. Adam did a fantastic job this morning, struggling to help me try and figure out how to get you on the air. The heck with my other two shows that didn't really. We were on for about 40 minutes, and then I was struggling to get something on the computer done, and I was told by our computer guy to unplug a thing, and I unplugged it, and for some reason or other, I did something wrong. I don't know what I did, but we're not live right now. Not live on the air. We're live on the
live as we're talking, though. Yeah.
Yeah. We're live on the internet. So let's continue on. We've had another crazy week, haven't we?
It's been a very disturbing week, actually. Yes, extremely so.
Yeah, now I assume you seem to know the questions I'm going to ask, so because you always apparently look at our ad for the show.
Yes, and I always share it, yeah.
Yeah, and, okay, I'm pulling it up so I know what I was going to ask. Did you notice that picture of me signing in to the United States?
Yes, I did, yeah. I see you had your basic training haircut.
Wasn't that a beauty?
For the Army Field Band, I guess. To join it, or just for that day, or what?
No, that was the day I signed in.
You signed up for it, yeah, okay.
I came from basic training. I had just come from basic training, and that's what the day I signed in to the United States Army Field Band.
Oh, wow, and that was, what, 1969, was it?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, 1969.
Yeah, crazy.
When you were young, right?
When I was very young, yeah.
Yeah, wow, so how old were you when you were in the military, 23?
Let's see, I think. Oh,
what?
Geez. I'm trying to remember how old I really was.
You were born in what year?
46, so.
46, so 69
so
is 22. Depends on the month, but it's 23 that year, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was a baby.
Well, you were a baby, but you weren't 18. You were 23 or 22.
Yeah, I was old enough to know better. But I went ahead and signed up, and, well, it was a great deal.
You weren't married yet, were you? No.
No, I got married that year, though. That was the year I got married in 69, so.
What month?
December.
Oh, so you were just a few months away from losing your freedom.
That's true, but you know, now,
I'm just kidding.
No, you that's absolutely the truth.
So you're married 52, almost 53 years now, huh?
Yeah. But
wow.
It's kind of interesting in the fact that Carol and I got married at Christmas because that was the only time I could get break from the Army Field Band. So,
oh, so it was December. I think it was September, so it was December 69.
December, yeah.
December, yeah. D-E-C-E-M-B-E-R, yeah. Okay, yeah, okay. But this was March, you're saying, huh?
That picture is probably. No, because I marched in the inaugural parade, so that picture is probably December of 68.
68?
Yeah. Kind of.
Because January 69 was the inauguration.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, so you're actually 22 then, yeah.
What we need is a bunch of young pictures of you so we can show the world what you look like when you were my age.
I can't hear you too well now. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. What we need is young pictures of you so that we can put those on.
Well, I do have some, but I don't have them online, you know. I don't think I do, no.
It's no big thing. That handsome picture of you, it will suffice.
Yes, thank you.
As a matter of fact, I've had a couple of people mention what great picture that is of you, so...
Of me, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it is a good picture, yeah. Actually, I think that picture was taken when I was, I think when my son was getting married, I think it was 2014, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, that didn't last, that marriage, which is very sad.
Sorry.
But so that's about 8 years ago, I guess, yeah.
Well, now, one of your former students sent me a message saying what a handsome picture that was of you.
And wait, just now, you mean?
Probably a month ago. Yeah.
Monique, I guess, huh?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, well, she's crazy about me. What can I say?
Well, she's also crazy if she's crazy about you.
She has an idealized view of me.
As a professor, do you find certain kids do that, the kind of attached to you like that?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I also have some people who I've had years ago that are still friends, and we talk on the phone sometimes, and a couple of them live locally, and I see them once a year or something. Yeah, and not a lot, but there are people who have taken me multiple times and, different courses, not the same course over and over.
Yeah.
And I obviously, over the years, I probably have taught probably 30,000 people,
I
don't know. And I've had an impact on people, no question.
Isn't that wonderful? It really is wonderful to know that you've had an impact on younger people.
Well, at least the ones that I keep in touch with. But I even think with others who you just know briefly, I think, a lot of them, some of them find me on Facebook and all that, so they remember who I am. And also my voice. They can't seem to forget my voice.
that Brooklyn Jewish sound.
Actually, it's not Brooklyn, because I was born in Jamaica, Queens.
Oh, okay.
My hospital was Donald Trump, by the way, and that's in Queens County, not Brooklyn. My parents lived in Brooklyn. Maybe that's it, but it's really more Long Island, Queens County in the city and Nassau County on Long Island where I grew up.
Well, you guys from New York, you all think that we know all that crap. We don't know any of that. You can say you're from Long Island or Brooklyn, and we wouldn't have any idea what
Well, Brooklyn is what everybody thinks of, or Manhattan. They think everything is Brooklyn and Manhattan. But
how close is Brooklyn to Manhattan?
I never thought it meant miles, but it's connected. It's all part of the same. It's on the island of I don't have a hint to you.
Now, some of what people...
Brooklyn and Queens are part of Long Island, and Manhattan Island is Manhattan, And all the counties of New York City are on the mainland, except for, let me see, what am I trying to say here? They're all on islands, I should say, except the Bronx is on the mainland.
Okay.
It's very confusing, though.
Yeah, it is confusing. I don't think anybody, when people identify themselves as somebody from New York...
New York City, they just say.
New York City, yeah. And most people are not from New York City that are talking to... Because New York City is really quite commercial, isn't it?
Well, plenty of people live there, though. Okay. It is where the skyscrapers are.
Yeah.
And it is where much of the culture is. Not all, but a lot of it is in Manhattan,
I was asked probably a week or two ago, maybe they heard me talking about it on the air, that did you really go to the top floor of the World Trade Center? And yes, I did. We had a meeting, NIT meeting was at the very top floor. We had dinner up there, and I'm not sure if it was the very top floor. It was the 103rd floor, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And
what year was that?
That's hard to say.
Was it right before 2001? No, it was years earlier.
No. It was in the. Early 90s.
Okay, so that was still, I was still 10 years before. Yeah. I never actually did, no.
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful. You look out the window, and there was nothing but cloud.
Well, that's true,
you couldn't see anything but the cloud.
Yes.
It was like being in a fog bank. Well, we were in a fog bank, basically.
Yeah. I got to say that moment, 2001, everything changed. And in many ways, we can look back and say, what a miserable, in many ways, 20 years or so we've had since.
Yeah.
It's not all connected to that attack, but it's just everything is so so messed up from 2000 on, you know. It's really a lot of negative stuff, you know.
Do you think that's affected our political status? Is that why we're so separated right now, do you think?
Well, actually, even before 9/11, the 2000 election, where the popular vote winner lost the election, and then it happened in 2016 again, is very disturbing. And then 9/11, and then, of course, the horrors of Hurricane Katrina, which didn't affect everybody, but it affected Louisiana and the southern states.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the two wars we were in, you know, which were not major wars, but we still were losing people in Iraq and Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And then the crash on Wall Street and everything else, the Great Recession. And then all the tumult and refusal of the opposition party to work with Barack Obama, a lot of racism and nativism and all that erupting. And then Trump becoming president and everything has happened since. And then the 2020 election and what happened on January 6th. And then the pandemic. When you think about it, it's one horror after another, really. Yeah. And now the Supreme Court's apparently going to take away basic rights that, whether it was right or wrong, they were granted, and they've never in their history ever done that, taken away rights that have been granted.
Okay, let's go. Might as well jump right into my questions that I have on here. Why did the Supreme Court draft opinion become so earth-shaking? Oh, well, it's just a draft opinion, and it was done several months ago.
Well, because usually the draft opinion ends up being the actual final opinion, but it also indicates just how horrible a human being I think Samuel Alito is. And I always tell people to remember one thing. He was picked by Bush, the second Bush. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be what happened is John Roberts was picked to replace Sandra Day O'Connor.
Right.
He had not yet had hearings to be an associate justice. And the day before the hearings for associate justice to replace Sandra Day O'Connor came up, Chief Justice Rehnquist passed away. The timing was unbelievable. Wow. And yet Roberts had not yet started the hearings to be associate. If he had started it, that would have been it. He would have been associate. But because it happened before, overnight, Bush said to him, how about you become Chief Justice? I'll find someone else to replace O'Connor. Huh? So he became by pure fortune. And then he picked Alito, Bush, to replace Sandra Day O'Connor. In other words, if this had happened differently, Alito would be Chief Justice, not Roberts. And as bad as Roberts is, because I'm not happy with him, imagine Alito as Chief Justice would have been much worse, you know, even though it's only one vote. But the leadership of the court matters, and Roberts tries to keep a balance, even though I don't like everything he does. But Alito is a far-right extremist, just like Clarence Thomas. And, you know, I think he's a horrible human being. I really think he is. And he's trying to take away rights and hinting that there may be the move possibly to take away other rights that right-wingers don't like gay marriage or maybe even interracial marriage or gay rights or even contraceptive rights. All these cases that were decided by, I guess you call it a moderate, or with a lot of Republicans going along, but now the Republicans are so far right, they want to get rid of all these, quote, freedoms that are not specifically stated in the Constitution in 1787. But that's the problem. You can't go by the Constitution of 220 years ago.
Right.
That's the whole story. You got to modernize it. But these right-wingers want to go back to the 18th century, and that's horrifying.
They probably would like a program that, instead of a progressive life, a reactionary life.
Yes, that sounds funny, but you're right. And the whole point is that they would like to go back to a time when women were secondary and obeyed their husbands and didn't look to have a work life, you know, outside of the home, and didn't have all the abilities to control their own destiny. And they would want, I'm sure many of them would like to have blacks back in slavery or at least in segregation. I'm sure. And okay, one doesn't have to agree with interracial marriage, but I've always said it's none of your business or mine who marries who. And if a black and a white get married, or an Asian and an Hispanic or whatever, or if two men or two women, we don't have to agree. We don't have to agree with everything, but who are we to tell people they don't have the freedom to do what they want in their lives?
Okay.
They're not harming anybody else. If they want to do it, let them do it.
I got an interesting message, Dr. Feinman.
Oh, good.
From Scott. Scott says we're back on the air.
Oh, okay.
Hello, everybody. In case we were on the air, but we were talking online, and now we're on the air and online. So welcome to everybody. We had a few little problems there, and apparently we've got them taken care of. Hey, what you said there in that discussion really brought up a lot of questions. How much control does the Chief Justice have?
Well, he's the leader of the court, and he can have an impact. I have a feeling that Roberts is not in the majority, even though he's a basic conservative. I think he's going to be a 5-4 vote. This is the problem with this 5-4 thing. It should not be 5-4. It should have to be at least 6-3 to change anything, in my opinion. But that would require changes, probably an amendment, I guess, or legislation. I'm not sure which. Yeah. But he has an impact because, don't forget, the court, whether you like it or not, is named after him. We've had 17 chief justices, just 17.
Okay.
John Marshall was there for 34 years, and Roger Tooney was there for 28, and so that was really two-thirds of the century in the 19th century, and altogether only 15 others, and the point is, anybody who's Chief Justice, let's face it, they all have an ego, they want to have the Roberts Court look good in history, like the Warren Court or the Marshall Court, and I think he's worried about his legacy and what it's going to look like, because it's going to be called the Roberts Court messed up. It's not going to be because Alito messed up or somebody else. I think he has quite an impact. We don't know all the actions behind the scenes, but it's clear to me the Supreme Court is very divided because the three liberals on the court, at least the two women, are really furious with what the majority are doing. Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan.
Yes.
And Sotomayor is particularly outspoken. And I'm sure even Breyer, as he leaves, is very unhappy. And I'm sure Ketanji Brown Jackson, who's not on the court yet, is not going to be happy either. But notice, except for Breyer, they're all women. And so in a way, it's an attack by the men on the court against the women on the court, if you accept, of course, for the true believer, good Christian, in quote, meaning, of course, Amy Coney Barrett, who I think is a phony, personally. I think she's not the right person to be on the court, you know, because she even lets her husband run her life. I've read that she obeys her husband. What's this idea of a woman having to obey somebody? This is crazy stuff. It really is. So we have religious extremism on the court, and we're supposed to have separation of church and state, and we don't have it with this kind of a court, and it's horrifying what they could try to undo on minorities, on gays and lesbians, on women, on the whole relationship between men and their wives. You know, it's a nightmare.
One of these days, Dr. Feinman, we're going to have to get you out of your shell so you can tell what you really think.
Well, I'm just making clear. I wrote about it on my blog, and I'm not the only one saying this. It's a terrible situation, you know.
Tell people where they can see that blog. I look at it probably two or three times a week. So.
Theprogressiveprofessor.com.
There you go. All right. And maybe you'll get some more watchers. Okay, let's get to the nub here. Now, the Supreme Court draft opinion, I don't think, has ever been seen outside of the Supreme Court before.
And somebody leaked it.
Is it
a member of the court, or is it a staff member of one of the justices, and is it someone on the liberal left or on the conservative right? There could be somebody who's a clerk for one of the conservative justices who's maybe it's a woman, maybe not, but it could be a woman, and is really disturbed about this and is trying to upend it. Or it could be somebody on the left, or it could be, in theory, imagine this, it could be one of the women on the court, meaning Sotomayor or Kagan. I don't think so.
They would have done it more openly, I think, don't you?
I would think so, but I would hope it's somebody who's working for one of the right-wing justices and is sacrificing his or her career, because there's already talk by Ted Cruz, a great law obeyer, right? That they should be total, indeed, prosecution and long prison time for such a person. Look in the mirror. He should have that. He's a miserable wretch of a human being.
Again, we've got to get you out of your show.
But notice I'm avoiding the word that starts with D that Scott doesn't like. So I'm using the wretch of a human being instead.
There you go. I like that term. Let's use that more often. Now, if it was leaked, are there any legal consequences of leaking that?
Well, there could be. Obviously, Roberts wants to know who leaked it, so I suppose there could be prosecution. But I think whoever that is going to become a hero or heroine, depending on male or female, it's an awful lot of people, a person who may sacrifice his or her freedom for a period of time, but trying to upend the Supreme Court. Because I think the Supreme Court is out of line. The Supreme Court has become an extremist organization. It's done a lot of bad things over its history, and it's doing it again now. It's trying to take away basic human rights. And I'm sorry, again, you don't have to agree with these things, but it's nobody's business to tell people who to marry, or tell them they can't use contraceptives, or indeed that, you know, that people who are not straight don't have any rights. It's ridiculous.
I think you and I agree that there ought to be at least some looking into, some inspection into the idea of changing the size of the court, especially considering the way the last three Supreme Court members have been added to.
Yes, and I want to point out that the three Trump appointees, the first one, Gorsuch, should not have come about because Merrick Garland was supposed to get that appointment, but the Republicans under Mitch McConnell would not allow it, and so it got delayed, and then Gorsuch got on the court. And the last one, Amy Coney Barrett, was right before the election because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing away. That's a horrible thing, the timing. And the fact is, that should not have been done with an election like 10 days away. It should have been left up to whoever won the election. And, of course, despite what Trump says and his lunatic followers, Joe Biden won and should have gotten that appointment along with the more recent appointment. So, and also, Brett Kavanaugh has had sexual harassment charges against him like Clarence Thomas did. So these people are very, very basically corrupt and flawed, all these appointments really are.
Well, I think, and there's been a lot of talk of codification of, like, things revolving around the January 6th thing, but don't you think they ought to codify the laws of around when you can, when you can't, and what you must do to get the Supreme Court nomination? Certainly, they shouldn't have a full year before it and say, no, we won't allow that to pass.
And then to have another one come just in time for the election before we know who's going to win it. Yes. No, it's corrupt. And the Republican Party is never going to agree because most of them are horrendous people and they don't care. A few exceptions. Even the ones who are exceptions like Murkowski and Collins, they were told by the Supreme Court nominees they're not going to overrule Roe v. Wade, and now apparently they are.
Yeah.
So that makes them look bad, too.
I was shocked to hear, was it Murkowski? I think she came out in public and said she was going to not vote for that.
And Collins also, women that are moderate on that issue, but they basically, like, all these Supreme Court nominees lied about that they would never touch it. So it means you can't, it's just like the lying that goes on. The Republican Party is always lying anyway, constant lying, you know, on everything. And, you know, and they get away with it. And, of course, Trump is a massive liar of all time. So the Republican Party will never cooperate. And, of course, if they gain the control of the Senate, oh, my God, they could outlaw abortion nationally. Yeah. And the Democrats couldn't stop it, not just in the states that have anti-abortion laws. Yeah. They could make it a national law, and the president would sign it, and the Supreme Court wouldn't interfere. So we're in a real crisis here. The Democrats lose the House and Senate, or at least one of them. But the point is, 50-50 tie in the Senate is a real nightmare. And, of course, Joe Manchin is not reliable on Roe v. Wade, so they need the two people, Murkowski and Collins, to make 51 votes, but then you have the filibuster issue. They could carve out an exception to the filibuster to allow 50-51 votes to be enough.
That's not going
to
happen.
But where's it going to happen? You know, it looks like a stalemate.
Yeah. I don't believe that's going to happen.
There should be many more justices, but that's also questionable because FDR wanted to add six new justices.
Yeah.
He was knocked down on that. And, you know, it's good in theory if you agree with the idea, but then the other side could also add new justices in the future when they're in trouble, and that's why I'm not sure it's the right thing to do. I don't know what the right thing to do is, really.
I think that's where the United States is right now. I don't think anybody is real certain of what's the right thing to do on anything. This is an experiment, this democracy, and I think
we're in trouble.
Well, I think we had a really good idea going, but we've had all sorts of poop thrown on the wall about it, you know.
Well, again, you got to remember, we started the country as a country that slaughtered Native Americans, yes. Whether we like it or not. That's the truth. And of course, Ron DeSantis, our governor, doesn't want that taught, either in Texas with Greg Abbott and other places.
Speaking
and it makes it impossible for somebody to teach what we call history. But I'm, you know, thank God I'm at the end of my career. I'm still teaching. Nobody tells me what to say. I say what I want to say. But as my son said, my oldest son, if someday they say, hey, you can't do this, you say goodbye, because I don't need to work. I like to work. I want to do it, and I enjoy it. But I've reached a stage of life that I'm not going to compromise. But the average person who's an average young person or middle age, they can't just, you know, there's going to be a lot of teacher retirements or quitting, because even in math now, they're saying you can't use certain math textbooks in Florida. It's insane. There's too much interference, and I wrote about that. There's a war on teachers and librarians. And it's really almost like a totalitarian mindset.
Yeah.
It's just not acceptable.
Now, you and I are similar in age. Now,
yes.
Did you ever think when you were a young man, boy, I'm going to be looking forward to that rest in the dirt? And, you know, I've heard a lot of older people, especially Democrats, are saying, well, you know, at least I'm old now, and I won't have to put up with this too much longer.
Well, I think that way, but I still have children, and
yeah.
You know, I think of younger generation that's going to be affected. And again, I'm saying we were a country that started off by slaughtering Native Americans at will and take away their land without compensation, and of course had slavery. And if it was left up to a lot of people, they still would be slavery or some variation of it. You know, there's still a lot of racism and nativism and misogyny about women's rights also. This country has a lot of people who go by organized religion, and I'm sorry to say Jesus may have said the right things, but the way religion is practiced, the Catholic Church and the evangelical Christians, they actually have promoted all these things that went on with slavery and Native Americans and everything else. Not saying people today, but the history is, but God forbid you tell the history. You have to cover. You have to do it. You have to tell the whole story. But
yes.
They only want a story of flag-waving patriotism. That's more like a fascist country that you can't
yes.
teach the truth.
It is. Last night, I had the most terrific dream it was a dream that started out from somebody questioning my being an atheist. But the dream turned out to be a beautiful dream and gave me answers. I wish I could remember all the answers. But one of the things was the religion that I see today, in, I guess, 80% of the churches that I've seen, is nothing like what my father taught as a Methodist minister.
No, it's all politicized and it promotes hate. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, it
the
does.
Evangelical Christians, Orthodox Jews, not all Jews, and right hardline Catholics, they really are just out to promote their own power and wealth outside the leadership, and they get people to hate people who are gay or black or Jewish, if you're not Jewish, of course, or women trying to be assertive of their own rights and choose to control their own bodies. Are we going to tell all men they have to have vasectomies, for instance?
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea.
Well, maybe. Or are we going to say you can't use condoms? You can't have birth control?
Well,
which
that's one of
was allowed in 1965, Griswold versus Connecticut.
Yeah.
It is insane.
Well, that's one of the things that they're worried that a lot of people are worried about now with this abortion thing, is that will they say you can't use contraception? And you know what? The chance of you being able to figure out whether me and my wife are using a contraceptive or not, she's a little too old.
Yeah, not so much chance.
But
it's more big
chances
telling you what to do, and yet they all claim they don't like government.
Yeah, the chance of anybody figuring that out are slim and none. And I'm sure not going to tell you.
But imagine that if you are poor woman or a minority woman and you get pregnant by rape or incest, no exceptions.
Yes, you have to.
And life of the mother, no exceptions.
Yeah.
That's sick.
It is.
That is simply wrong. And for Alito to say that and the others to go along, at least in the draft, I'm telling you, I'm just hoping that one or two of those justices have second thoughts now and will not do so. I don't think Roberts agrees with it, but, you know, there aren't enough votes there. But the Supreme Court is going to be having a civil war within its membership, because I don't see how they even get along anymore. How can the three Democrats who now will all be women, how are they going to get along?
Yeah,
and don't
question.
Forget, two of them, one is black and one is Hispanic, you know, Puerto Rican. The other one's Jewish. So imagine that against a Christian, actually Catholic majority of the Supreme Court white males. Think about that.
That is interesting. There is a Catholic majority of the males?
There's five of them. Oh, everyone.
They're all Catholic?
Everyone except Gorsuch is Catholic, yes.
Huh.
Yes.
That is amazing.
Including Thomas and his lovely wife, who has been involved in the conspiracy on January 6th.
What a
strange
person.
Should be arrested and put in prison.
Yeah, but you know,
Thomas.
I don't want to ever be blamed for the stuff my wife does.
Your wife's a good woman. She's not that person with the hatred in her mind of Jenny Thomas, who's a good Christian in her own mind, but that's the thing I can't stand.
Well, she is developing a little bit of a hatred for certain side Republican, you know.
Well, I'm sure she's upset, your wife, about this.
Extreme right, yeah.
Who is not anybody with any ethics or morality or decency, except they would say, but every fetus must be born. But they don't want to take care of the fetuses when they're born. They don't want to help poor women out.
Right.
You know, it's just a double standard. Be born, but then to hell with you, because we're not going to support you, and we're going to keep these people in poverty, and therefore give them limited opportunities to get ahead, the mothers and the children.
There used to be a lot of complaints about baby factory women who generated babies so that they could make more money. What are they going to say now?
Well, they're making more money. They get some money, but not enough to live in a decent way.
Absolutely.
Very minimal, although they might get some money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting harder and harder. Why don't we have the Republican Party and the courts worrying about inflation and about the issue of how everything's going up and dealing with the world situation with Ukraine? A lot of these people, you know, don't even care about Ukraine. Look at J.D. Vance, who became the Ohio Republican nominee.
Yeah.
And he's a total phony. He switched completely on his views on Trump. I hope he's going to lose to Tim Ryan. I really hope that Tim Ryan can win that seat.
Well, let's talk about that. That was one of the other things. It was amazing how much the Trump endorsement helped J, as he called him, J.B.,
Mandel.
Yes.
Well, the only good thing that came out of him getting it is Josh Mandel, who is a horrific, miserable wretch, even worse than Vance, did not win. He ended up second and actually almost ended up third. This guy Dolan, who was the only one who didn't support Trump, actually ended up almost second, you know.
Yeah.
And apparently Dolan won the Cleveland and Columbus area, I heard, the more urban areas.
Those are pretty strong.
But I'm glad Mandel was out, because he's actually worse, I think. He would have been worse than J. Vance, but they're both horrendous, you know.
Yeah, but do you think there's a change in the shift? Is there a shift in the wind for the Republican Party at all coming? Do you think?
I don't see it. No, it's just a question of the Republicans win control both houses. We're going to have a fascist government. I'm sorry, people say don't say that, but it is going to be that way. And you know, it's going to be a horrible situation for anybody who's not a white male Christian.
Yeah.
And believe me, there's elements of anti-Semitism among a lot of these evangelicals. They all want to convert the Jews to Christianity. That's what they want to do. So they support Israel because they support them against the Muslims. But the point is, they really have no interest in Jews being Jews. They just don't.
Well, going back to the J.D. Vance, I looked him up, and I looked at his requirements, his qualifications, and a little bit about his former life. He was a relatively moderate guy.
Yes.
Did not like Trump. Has a high education rate. He seems like a perfect Republican candidate.
Harvard Yale graduate, yeah. One of the other, I forgot
yeah.
which. Yeah.
I think it's Yale.
But Mandel, honestly, I know people here who are from Cleveland, and he's Orthodox Jew, and he got divorced, but that's not an Orthodox Jew I don't like. And he's a miserable wretch, and I'm glad at least he lost. If he had gotten Trump's back, he probably would have won it. But I don't think Vance is any better. It's just I'm glad Mandel lost out.
Well, with all Vance's positives, after I looked him up and stuff like that, his major negative is he's got that Republican disease of not being able to tell the truth. And
well, none of them tell the truth, nope. Meanwhile, the governor, Mike DeWine, won the nomination.
He won. And
I'm glad, because the other two people were not good, and the person who was the, don't know what is the person to the poorest was this guy with the long white beard. He looked like a wacko.
Blystone.
I forgot his name.
Blystone.
What's his name?
Blystone.
Yeah, yep. And I'm not going to say, but I know somebody who was supporting him or said he wanted him to win. My God. And just looked at him and said, who would want a person like that who's obviously a rural folk type? That's not the kind of person you need as governor.
Yes,
now, doesn't mean White DeWine is great. And he's got Nan Whaley, the mayor of Dayton, and I hope she wins. She's a good woman. But at least I feel DeWine was overall reasonable on the COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, I don't like him. I wouldn't vote for him. But I think he's the best choice as far as the Republican Party for governor. So I'm glad he won.
Well, Scott asked me this morning on the air what I thought about all these races. And he asked me about Whaley. And I said, I don't think she has a chance. And he said, why not? And I said, because she's a woman. And I don't care what anybody says. We have a lot of old white guys.
Well, yes, and the state's become more right-wing, so it is going to be difficult. But I think she's a very decent person, because it doesn't mean anything. You don't have to be decent. In fact, if you're decent, you probably lose more support.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but I'm hopeful that we can have an upset. And certainly I hope, you know, even if he wins again, DeWine, it's not the end of the world, but I really hope that Tim Ryan can become the new senator, because he's been a congressman for 20 years, and he's a good guy, and,
yep.
You know, not perfect. Everybody has their shortcomings, but, I mean, he really is much better, yeah. Now, Indiana, I didn't see the results. I don't even know what happened in Indiana. I haven't had time to notice that.
Yeah, you know what? I said that we were going to talk about Indiana, and I didn't get a chance to look at Indiana either.
I'm trying to look it up while I'm talking to you to see what happened.
Well,
is this for both for governor and senator?
Quite frankly, I didn't.
I haven't had. I'll be honest, so much has been going on lately, including at home here, different things, that it's hard to keep up with everything. You know, it's just. I'm actually a little overdone. I can't keep up with all the changes coming. So many things happening at the same time.
You'd be hearing
about Tucker Carlson, the nightmare of Tucker Carlson, so it's very hard, you know.
You'd be real proud of your former talkmate, Adam, this morning. He worked his derriere off to get us back on the air.
I wrote him, and I want to thank him for that. He did help. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He did a fantastic job. The area that we were trying to correct is not his specialty.
I know.
But he worked really hard, and I got to give him an attaboy. Okay, let's get on with, I want to know why. Why do you think the Republican Party, and I don't care, you can be a staunch Republican, you've got to admit, they've got way more people that oppose legal stuff. I mean, they've got lawbreakers. They've got crazy people. They've got people that are, they're allowing themselves to be deceived. What in the world has happened to our Republican Party, which was a very noble party for a long, long, long time, started by Lincoln?
Well, it was originally Lincoln, and then Theodore Roosevelt, mm-hmm. and then people like La Follette on the Senate and governorship level, mm-hmm. And then people like Eisenhower, and also like Nelson Rockefeller and William Scranton as governors, and
sure.
many different senators. But since the 80s, the Republican Party has become worse and worse, starting with the Reagan years, and really getting worse as time goes by. And yet, you know, the party still keeps its support. I wanted to mention, by the way, with Indiana, there was no contest for the Senate. Both candidates were nominated, the two parties. Young is the incumbent, and I don't know who McDermott is, so there's no real major contest in Indiana that sticks out like in Ohio.
That's why it probably didn't jump off the page at me this morning when I watched. I usually watch, I hate to tell people this, but I watch MSNBC.
I was busy. I didn't even get a chance to watch much of MSNBC this morning. You know, life does go on without looking at this all the time. I'm trying to keep up, but I swear, it's like almost information overload. Too many things happening at the same time.
I hear you.
And the Supreme Court issue really has become, has been dominant in the last 2 days, really.
Well, one of the good things about the Supreme Court thing is it may force Democrats to say, hey, I got to get out and vote. And that's one of the things that...
Certainly women, my God,
yes.
You know, but the whole problem is many of the states are trying to make it harder for people to vote. They're putting all kinds of restrictions, so the leaders of the Republican Party, they're going to take away our freedom, and I think they're already succeeding at it to some extent. And the Supreme Court has become a nightmare, and it's just not right. And I don't know what can be done about it. I'm hopeful that Roberts can bring pressure on one or two of the others and get it to change the result. And I'm assuming he will join them, by the way. He could join them and be 6-3. Oh, my God. I don't think he will, though, but I don't think he's very happy right now. And I'm sure there's a lot of interaction of tempers probably on the Supreme Court. And I don't think that the women on the court who are Democrats, maybe Breyer stays quiet, he's leaving, but the two women on the court and later another woman on the court, they're not going to keep quiet. And I think it's going to create a bad situation, really. And it shouldn't be that way.
Do you think that behind the scenes they have really knocked down drag-out fights amongst the...
We don't know. Usually they're pretty civil because, like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia had totally opposite views, but they still went out to dinner together, and they still like to go to the theater together, to operas, but that's further back. But I don't know. I really don't know.
That's one of the sad things I find about this schism that's happening between the Democrat and the Republican parties is that I had great friends that were Republicans. I was a Republican, and I've lost my great friends. I don't know that I have lost them. Many of them, we just don't talk about politics.
I've lost some people that I will not talk to anymore, mm-hmm. and we had, let's say, insulting emails back and forth. So
Yeah,
and I don't care because I've learned that these people were not worth my time, you know, is the way I look at it. It's not a question of disagreement, but when they have such dramatic disagreements, it indicates a lack of ethics and morality as I see it.
Well, you know, I hate to call names, but there certainly does seem an awful negligence in the ability of the current Republican constituent to understand what is truth and what is not.
One thing people have told me, and they said, don't use the word evil. I never did in the past when I didn't like candidates, but now I think there are, not everybody, but there's a number of really evil people in the U.S. Senate and as governors. I think our governor in Florida is evil. I think Ted Cruz is evil, as just examples. And I like to find anybody who can really justify it. Anybody who can justify them, I don't want to talk to because they're not going to teach me anything because I know I have the right moral view on the way these people conduct themselves and what they do. But people say, don't use the word evil. Well, but I think if we don't recognize when there's really evil, then evil will take over without any opposition. That's the way I see it.
The word evil connotes that the person has no control over his goodness or his badness. He is just going to be bad. And maybe that's why.
I guess. I find it very hard to be civil to people who are really extreme, you know, with a different view, you know. Because some of them actually think that the other side, my side, is evil, and I don't see it.
Just don't see that. That's why I was asking that question about what happened to the Republicans. Do they really think that I want evil to happen to them? Do they really think I don't care about my fellow Americans? Of course I do.
No, I don't wish evil in the sense I want harm on, say, DeSantis or Cruz. No, I just want them out of office because they were a threat and a danger to the American nation. Yeah. But I'm not wishing personal harm. No, of course not.
Of course not.
And but I think a lot of them don't care about the personal harm they're visiting by what they promote.
Now, that is evil, if they don't care about...
I think Ted Cruz cares. Lindsey Graham once said, and it's funny, that if Ted Cruz died, nobody in the Senate would be upset.
Yeah, that's kind of rude.
And that's Lindsey Graham, who's also quite outrageous, to say the least.
Yeah.
These people have no ethics, morals, or scruples, and so I don't wish them personal harm. I just would like to see them out of office and not have them, you know, speak of their hatred, which I think is what they're doing.
Do you think the reality will show 50 years from now? What we're talking about?
Well, I think reputations in history will come about when we have time to reflect. And I don't think we're going to say Ted Cruz or Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis or others like that are going to look good in the long run. But I don't think they care. They're so involved in their own ego, they're still going to be part of history. Let's face it, Donald Trump's going to always be part of history forever and ever and ever, debatable and all that, but that's true even of the people that we all like FDR or Lincoln. They still have people who don't like them. But the fact is, they have their ego stroked because they know they're going to be part of history, and that includes, you know, senators and governors as well.
Well, now you do understand that history is written by those who win. It's not written by those who lose. And so, therefore, if the Democratic Party loses in the next 2 to 4 years, the history will be written by the people that don't like us.
Well, the history for the short term, like with Trump, but then Trump got defeated, so it might be a temporary backward step. But I still believe in the long run of history, ethics and morality will win out in how we judge people when they're gone. In other words, when people are dead and gone, then we really start to judge them. And again, there'll be debate about it, but I think the ones who really promote horrible policies and are really promoting hate will not win in the long run of history.
That's
short run, yeah, they might.
I gotta say hi to that person that went by and honked their horn. we get those a lot now. It is disappointing to be in this time, but also we can learn an awful lot about ourselves. I think this could make us a stronger democracy if we can learn.
I hope so.
If we can learn. We
gotta
learn.
It's very distressing. I've never felt so down about the future with the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court says something, that's it.
Yeah.
Until they change the membership and another case comes up, maybe. But it's, to take away rights, whether you and I like what people's rights are, they've been granted a right of abortion. It is not something that should be taken away.
Well, people are starting to admit that the Supreme Court, which used to be above reproach, is there are an awful lot of people that don't really have a lot of faith in our Supreme Court.
No, they've lost their reputation, and that's going to be hard to get back. And Roberts is upset. There's no question about it, because he wants to have the court image look good. But right now, the Roberts Court looks like a tragedy and it's getting worse every year.
Yeah, and it's not going to get any better until we have a change. I really think that the Republican Party allowed that to happen just because they the underhanded way that they've promoted the last three justices.
Yes, but it's also the religious right. This whole idea of promoting their idea, the religious right, evangelical Christians, are taken like as if we're a theocracy. We are not. We need separation of church and state, and you can have your religion, I can have my religion, or not have my religion, like Ron Reagan said, who was an atheist, the son of the president. That is not something where where religious ideas should be deciding what happens to women's bodies or what happens with who marries who. You don't have to agree. Look, there's things I see or things I notice that I don't like. I mean, I'll just mention I'm not a big fan of a person who has tattoos, but I'm not going to say anything, why do you have to have tattoos? None of my business. I don't like it myself. But I don't have to like everything. You don't have to agree with everything, but leave people alone.
I think you ought to have a sword tattooed right on on your forehead. I think that would look really cool.
Just like some people have nose rings. I'm not a big fan of nose rings. I would never do that. My kids luckily don't. But you can't tell people what to do. I can think, I don't like that. But I'm not going to interfere and tell people you can't do this, you can't do that.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have freedom.
Yeah, that's true. And freedom is not necessarily total freedom.
No.
You can't scream fire in a theater.
And yet sometimes some of these politicians on the other side really do scream like fire in a crowded theater when there's no fire.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to stir up hatred.
Yeah.
Awful lot. I'm saying a Ted Cruz type, but he's not the only one. They really are dangerous people. That's the point, because they keep people back in them, and you wonder what makes people like a person like Ted Cruz or Ron DeSantis, and there are many others. I mean, the whole group in the Senate are just horrible.
Do you not think that that certain people are stirring up this hatred to stir up votes as opposed to stirring up the hatred because they're really mad?
They want to keep power. Yeah, they want to get reelected over and over. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't think it has anything to do with right, wrong, or anything in between. It's all votes. And all votes right now, I would really like to see us do something about the money in our votes.
Yes, well, but that's also now because of the Supreme Court, corporations are people, they say, which is ridiculous.
Should
not be allowed to contribute the way they do and have such dominance.
But they're not people if they're in Disneyland.
Yeah, that's another thing. This whole thing he's doing to Disney is going to harm the state of Florida, and he's interfering with business, and Republicans are supposed to be pro-business. They don't have to agree with everything he says and does.
Yeah.
And this whole thing of trying to promote what can be taught in a public school or banning books and undermining public libraries, as I wrote about, is just absolutely wrong.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense. How can you think that banning thought, which is what books are, it makes any sense? Now, I understand that you don't want to have some pornographic, and you may remember Lady Chatterley's Law.
Yes, of course.
That was banned a lot of places because it was pornographic. I guess I understand that, but maybe banning it for 21 and under year old people is okay, but even at that point, what 21 year old kid Well, I was one of those. I bought it so that I could read the dirty parts.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Hey, I'll tell you what. This has been a really tumultuous week that has really caused me a lot of sleepless nights.
And I think it's caused me to be a little more emotional than usual, and I guess I apologize, but I'm so furious about things.
No, I'm glad you let it all out, because I was afraid you were going to go back into your shell like you always do.
Yeah, anyway, we're running out of time. It's just about time to go. So
we
got a difficult start, but I'm glad that we had a chance to talk, and I'll definitely... if we have about a minute to go, we'll definitely have a nice show next week, I hope, right?
Yeah, and those of you who are listening, who were listening on the internet, you heard the beginning of the show, but those of you who didn't get to hear the beginning of this show, you can go and pull us up and click on previous shows and look under A Progressive Life, and you'll get me and Dr. Feinman back.
And also my page. Once Adam puts it up, it'll be on my page as well.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And
I thank Adam again for helping to resolve this problem that developed.
He is a trooper today. I'll tell you that. And I don't use that term on many people.
All right. Anyway, so have a good week, and thanks again, and we'll talk next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Better circumstances. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Dr. Feinman.
All right, Dr. Feinman, and so glad that we got this going again. It was a little embarrassing to tell him he's not on the live on the air, but he handled it fine, and you will be able to go and pull up that show and listen to the whole thing. He was pretty open about his feelings early in the show, so it might be worth tuning in if you like Dr. Feinman's style. He has a rather strong style, and I like hearing from him. It makes my show a lot easier. I just let him run. He can come up with all sorts of things. All right, have yourself a great day, and we'll talk to you later.